When it comes to persecution, you and I are always looking for ways out. It's something we try to avoid. Yet, as we come here to Matthew chapter 5, we get a clear glimpse as to the other side of the coin, that God actually says you're blessed if you're persecuted. So there seems to be a dichotomy of thought here. What is the truth, and to what end and whose glory? Well, that's what we're looking at today here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We invite you to join us as we continue our series on the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted.
Well, today we conclude our study in the Beatitudes, and we come to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and considering verses 11 through 10 through 12, that's the text. I'll read the Beatitudes one more time, and today we conclude this wonderful section of Scripture. And this is the word of the Lord. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And now our text. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And there will end the reading of God's word. Well, there is no doubt that all of us desire, especially me, to live a comfortable life and a happy life and a prosperous life, and to not face any of the ills that are often described in the Scriptures, especially what we just read about in the Psalms about foes who maliciously attack us. That is not the kind of thing that we enjoy hearing about. And this is somewhat of a challenge as we're confronted with Christianity on Jesus's terms that says things like what we just read. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There has been a pursuit of Christianity in the West since we've had so much outward blessing and prosperity that we really can't conceive of a Christianity that is one of suffering. It's difficult for us at the hand of foes, at the hand of those who persecute us. Even though the Scriptures are very clear, through much tribulation we enter the kingdom of God. It's all over the place. It was David Wells who once said, "One of the biggest struggles for evangelicals in our day is that God rests ever so lightly upon us. We've consumed a steady diet of sermons and books which portray a God whose chief end is to relieve our stress and increase our wellness." Well, a God who has rested ever so lightly upon us. And so what we've done is turn Christianity into a therapy. Because it's been so good, and because we've had so much outward prosperity, the messages turn into God is just there as a therapy God to solve every little pain that we have in life. He's right. He's right. That's what's happened in the West. You could see how confusing that might be for us when circumstances change. You could see how that would cause a lot of challenges for us. It was the parable of the sower that Jesus gave, that one of the soils he was concerned about that did not endure were those who received the word immediately. They received the word in the good times. They received the word when everything is going well in life, when there's outward prosperity, and we especially tie that to the blessing of the Lord. But when he said tribulation and difficulty comes because of the word, many people do not endure. You imagine in America, after decades of prosperity and no outward persecution, where people have never really had to take a stand for much, and having a wrong conception of what Christianity is, how, and being used to therapy, how difficult this would be for us if it actually turned into physical persecution for our faith. I often think about that. We're probably products of what we know. What have I known? A pretty remarkably, in light of the history of the world, easy life in terms of not having to face opposition for my faith. So it's been easy to not stand for much in the midst of all this. It's been easy to cruise along in the midst of all this. We have assumed that we are blessed in this life if we have a life of ease and we just can stay to ourselves and enjoy family and have that good life, as we call it, ever thinking that that is all God resting ever so lightly upon us. The big challenge would be to try to process if times actually got really hard. That would be hard. I admit it'd be hard for me. If times actually got really hard in terms of persecution, and the struggle that we would have, the sense that we would have, is this question: has God abandoned us? Has God abandoned us? Beloved, I think that's why Jesus saves the most shocking beatitude for last. Really is the most shocking beatitude. And provides, I think, one of the most profound encouragements in the scriptures to help us with perspective when there are changing providences, changing seasons, when the favor of the Lord no longer is received. Think about the favor of the Lord on his church, when that is no longer valued in the society and the world. That's what we've enjoyed in the country, is Christianity embedded in the Constitution and embedded in the principles of it, so that we have enjoyed so much freedom that it was really, as Dr. Godfrey has helped us with, Christendom embedded in law, so that we have been protected. And it's been, well, that's changing. That's changing radically, and it's changing fast. And so we have to think through these things. We have to think about what Christianity is designed to be, and that we are centered and really rock solid no matter the circumstances that come upon us, whether we are living in, as our Heidelberg says, in outward prosperity, whether it's fruitful years or lean years. Whether it is received time in the public eye where we are loved and embraced, or whether we are hated, that really does not affect who we are as Christians, because no matter what the providence is, we look to the Lord and trust him. But Jesus told us constantly what to expect. You think of John 15, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. Why don't you belong to the world? He says, because I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. The reason the world hates you is sovereign election. The reason the world hates you is sovereign election. I chose you, and I set you apart. And they hate you for that. He said, that is why, remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. In other words, Jesus suffered a cross, and you and I are not greater than him. And so he says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. So we have to give ourselves to understand this today, because it is the last beatitude that Jesus addresses, and I want to look at this morning briefly with you sort of persecution misapplied today, so that we would think about this and see how it's been misapplied, and then persecution explained by Jesus as to what it looks like and what it is, and then to apply it to help us appreciate who we are in the world and why that matters and why that's so special. This is a special designation that he's given to us here, and we have to understand it. So for a minute, we have to appreciate where the beatitude comes. It comes in a very unique place, at the end of a long list of describing who the Christian is in the world. How the Christian gives flavor to the world. How he is salt and how he's light to the world. He's been explaining these beatitudes and the characteristics of the Christian as to who he is as those who have entered the kingdom of God. The peculiar marks that really demonstrate they are Christ followers in this world. But this beatitude is fundamentally different than all the rest. For all the other Beatitudes provided a sort of direct description from Jesus of the Christian in this life, that characteristics and qualities and virtues and things that are practiced by the believer in this present age. He is peacemaker. He's a peacemaker. He is merciful and so on. But this one's different. It is indirect. In other words, Jesus saved this one for last to describe what is going to happen to the Christian in this life. That's different. It's not something we ever choose. And let me say up front, it's not something we celebrate. We'll look at that at the very end. It's not something we celebrate. Nobody wants to be persecuted. Nobody asks for it. Nobody delights in it. It's a sad state of affairs when God's people are persecuted. It's not something we pursue in this life. It is something that results from simply being who we are in this life, which is very important to understand. It naturally results from being who you are if you are indeed being a Christian. That's what it earns, Jesus is describing. So Jesus attaches a shocking blessing to the fact that because of who you are in this life, you will then be persecuted. So it becomes a sort of capstone and summary conclusion of all the Beatitudes in a way. For when we are these things that are upside down in the world, as we've been describing, peacemakers, merciful, when we sorrow for our sins, when we are filled with righteousness, when we have these kinds of things in us and things that we pursue, one would think that if we are humble and if we are kind, and if we are pure in heart, and if we are poor in spirit, and if we are merciful to people, and most of all, peacemakers in a world, a dog-eat-dog world, that would earn the world's favor. That would earn the world's favor. I mean, it should, right? Jesus says the opposite. That is peculiarly true with regard to peacemakers. That's where we landed last time. That you would think any peacemaker in this present age would be warmly embraced. Jesus says the opposite. That actually, when we are peacemakers, that's why there's a direct tie to the previous beatitude, or precisely because we are peacemakers, the true effect of that, the thing that will happen in our lives is that will result naturally in the hatred of the world. Right? That's what he says. The very thing that we're all embarrassed about because we're so afraid that everyone's going to think we're better than everyone. No, we don't think we're better. But it's precisely the humility in the Christian, it's precisely the peacemaking quality of the Christian that earns those kinds of charges. And we don't understand that. We don't appreciate that. Now, you remember what we looked at in peacemakers. They are most concerned about the most important issue in people's lives. We have this great concern that people need to be right with the Lord. That is the burden of you, beloved. Think about it. Why are we here? What do we care about with our neighbor? What do we think about when it comes to our neighbor? We're burdened, ultimately, that they don't know the Lord and that they don't have peace with Him. And that because of that, they're at war with God. And Jesus is here describing the connection to this. Now, I think before we address what it means today, blessed are those who are persecuted, we should spend a moment on what it doesn't mean. I think that'll be helpful, I hope, for a minute. And this may be one of the most misunderstood statements by our Lord. Throughout history, there have been all kinds of zealots. There have been all kinds of zealots for the faith. You think of some of the zealots that rose up in Jesus' time. And there were always those trying to pull Jesus in to become a revolutionary. There were always those who were trying to pull Jesus into the war, the culture war. And they were zealous, they were fighting, and they developed a character in them that is contrary to what Jesus is saying here. However, they would have heard it and said, yeah, that's right. Blessed are those who are persecuted. This is exactly what Peter warned against in his little epistle when he said, listen, for dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. And he says this, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Now, that's not what we typically run around saying I'm blessed about, but he said, you're blessed if you're insulted. He said, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, though, it should not be as, now think about this. This is why I said we need to kind of consider what it's not for a minute. It should not be as a murderer or as a thief or as any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. That's a really interesting interjection, you know. Not as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal. There was a reason Jesus was always concerned to not give offense. Pay the taxes. Lest we offend, pay the taxes. This is really important. God, in times in his providence, sends fiery trials upon us. And they are to test us. They are to test us. They are to show the character of the Christian and show what's in our hearts. But some are persecuted in this life for the sole reason that they become, with the badge of being a Christian, obnoxious rebels. Peter even mentions a meddler here. You can bring a lot of hardship on your life simply because you are meddling in things that God never called you to meddle in. Your calling is to lead a quiet life in all godliness and to not meddle in things you shouldn't meddle in. That can lead to a lot of persecution in your life, even from the government. In some way, we kind of lived through a fiery ordeal not so long ago with COVID, didn't we? Yeah, it was not that was such a blur. What a weird time. What a strange time we endured. God sent this fiery trial on the whole world, really. In my opinion, you know, I look back at it and I thought about how much should I say about this. Now, I was frustrated with the government and the way they handled it big time. You know, I was really frustrated. I thought it was handled terribly in many ways. In my opinion, that's what my position is looking back on it. They shut down everything. Remember that time? Remember all the emotions and the things it drew out? Remember the war in the church? Remember all the fighting over this? Remember the rebels? The church was faced with an important question, of course, of what that meant for worship. We saw all the inconsistencies. We saw all the problems. We had to wrestle strongly with what does that mean for the command of God to worship? Churches everywhere initially shut down, remember? And some of the well-known churches cited even Richard Baxter that said, for a pandemic, of course we shut down. We believed that the need to worship, pure and simple. And what we did as a church is we tried to work through the ordinances at the time to still gather, you know. We were outside for a while, you know. Was that all that bad? I mean, you got to bring lawn chairs, you know. I saw some of you in shorts that never wore shorts before. We didn't want to draw attention to ourselves through that, did we? I mean, if we could work through the avenues to try to still worship and not bring offense, wasn't that probably the best way? If you look back at COVID, it was really remarkable. For almost the whole duration of COVID, maybe not those first weeks, we were out worshiping. We were trying not to draw offense or attention to ourselves. I thought the elders here were very wise in the way they handled it. Others said, of course, forget the government. We're going back inside and we're denying it all. Now, they had that, I guess, right? But those churches were held up when the government came down on them as being persecuted as the most faithful churches because they stood strong in the face of opposition. In some cases, directly challenging the government did receive backlash. when the offense probably was avoidable. I didn't like any of it. It was a confusing time. What a confusing time, whatever position people landed in. What a confusing time. The point is, many people viewed that as persecution. Let me ask. There were probably some cases of persecution, but were we really persecuted? Really? I mean, I think it's an important question. Can anybody say that really, in a widespread level, COVID brought persecution on Christians only? Or was this, even if you call it irresponsible, a massive shutdown of everything? Sure, I thought really unjust when casinos were open and churches couldn't be. That was bad. Were we still able to worship? Clear answer is yes, when we figured it out. My point is, a lot of so-called Christians are persecuted in this life because, as Martin Lloyd-Jones says, they are fighting for a cause. And in that way, they become obnoxious. John Calvin described in his day, "Today also," and I quote, "those crackpot Anabaptists who cause so much trouble in the world, who denounce governments and magistrates, the unity of the church, never tire of repeating this phrase, 'Blessed are those who suffer persecution.' Yes, but," he says, "do they suffer persecution for righteousness' sake?" The answer is no. The opposite is true. We should have the word righteousness firmly written in our hearts and ensure that whenever we are persecuted, our conscience testifies before God that our cause is just. And that takes wisdom, doesn't it? He says, "For that is the mark chosen by Christ to distinguish his disciples from those who are brigands, thieves, murderers, blasphemers, and adulterers." In general, we misunderstand persecution, I think, in America. A lot of people want out of California right now, you know. Which they have a right to do. I'm not condemning that. But the reason that a lot of people went out of California is because they think the government's persecuting them. I had someone write to me this week and say, about those staying in California, about you. "Throughout church history, including the last century, there are times when God's people must flee the onslaught of the wicked. Firsthand, my German grandparents and my mother fled oppression, rape, and starvation under Soviet military. My heart breaks to watch Christian friends and missions colleagues in California frequently lose their children and grandchildren to the local pagan culture." I said, well, I said, "if that were true, my friend, then I'd probably flee too. Guns are not put to my head for preaching the gospel today. I can still send my kids to whatever form of schooling I want, Christian schooling. Am I being persecuted for the faith? Really? Hardly. Right now. That day may come. But until we receive actual persecution, then I believe I'm called to minister in Nineveh unless God calls me out of here."
Well, we are out of time today, and we'll close today's program out. But look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888 504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.